GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Hey, shalom aleichem, and welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. My name is Rico Cortez. It truly is an honor to come back to you and welcome in your homes. I hope that I'm encouraging you. I hope I'm challenging you to go back and search Scripture out. I'm hoping that I'm being edifying to you. I know that sometimes some of the things that I've said might be controversial in the sense that maybe you haven't heard it before. And I'm challenging you to prove me wrong. I'm challenging you to go back and look Scripture. Because the whole idea is to prove Yahweh correct and men liars. And the whole idea behind this is that we want to rest assured that our Messiah is always have that root, that foundation in our lives that we know that He is the Messiah, no matter what anybody says. But we also need to prove it, just like He proved to the early leadership in Jerusalem that He was the Messiah sent by Yahweh. In this teachings that I've been doing, this is the fourth part, and I'm hoping that I could get done today. But in this teaching that I'm doing, it's proving that Yeshua is the prophet like unto Moses. Remember in the past episodes that I spoke about, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 17 on, in which says that Yahweh will send a prophet like unto Moses, like Moses. And anything that that prophet will say will have to be heard, because everything the prophet says comes from Yahweh. It's directly from the Lord. He will speak the words of the Lord. And in the first series that I did on this, I established that Yeshua used that language. My doctrine is not mine, but the Father who sent me. That language is prevalent through the New Testament, proving that Yeshua is not speaking His own words, but the words that the Father gave Him. There's also a theology of Judaism that says, Lo bashamayin hi. It's taken out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, in which they manipulate the text and say that the Torah is no longer in heaven. Therefore, Yahweh has no longer any authority on the how to keep the Torah. Only the rabbis do. Well, Christianity have done the same thing. They said that Jesus nailed everything to the cross, and now they take everything Yeshua says out of context, and they say that you no longer have to follow the Torah, that only the theological schools and the doctrine and denominationalism has the authority to determine what is truth and what is not. So what I'm trying to do is go back to what Yahweh says, what Hashem says, what the Creator says, and let God be stand true on His word and let men be liars. And that stands for all of us. So let's finish this series with the typology of the life of Moses with the life of Messiah. The last time you were with me, I spoke about Moses, Yeshua, the faithful servant. Moses was a faithful servant. Yeshua was a faithful servant. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 says, And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. And in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 speaks out Yeshua, when there was a letter written to the Laodiceans, it says, This thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness. See? So there were faithful servants, both of them. Moses gave water to the people. Yeshua is the living water. I already read you this earlier, but I want to review so we can follow the sequence of what we're trying to do. Take the life of Moses and the life of Messiah. Also, Moses the king, Yeshua, king of the world, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 4. Moses is as a king unto Israel. And in 1 Timothy 6, 14 and 15, I already read them last week, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to review here real quick. He's declared king of kings and master of masters. Moses and Yeshua make atonement for your sin. We see how Moses went up to the mountain and interceded for the people. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, Paul is telling us that Yeshua, he says, And not only so, but also we joy in Yahweh through our Savior, Messiah Yeshua, by whom we have now received the atonement. So Moses makes atonement for Israel. Yeshua makes atonement for us. Moses and Yeshua are judges of Israel. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 says, And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And in the story of John chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11, we see they brought the adulterous woman to him, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine here in the studio, and we were reviewing that. And actually, you know what I'm going to do? Let's break that down, because I think that's really important. All right, so far we've proven that Yeshua lines up as being the prophet like Moses. Everything he did lines up. But let's find out what happened in this episode in chapter 8 of John. When you go to chapter 8 of John, you're going to encounter that they bring him an adulterous woman. This was not part of the teaching, so I'm going to speak from the top of my head here. So bear with me, okay? It says, And in chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "But Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees," listen who was there, "the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.'" In other words, they saw her getting it on with some other guy. Okay? It says, "Now Moses in the law commanded us to such persons should be stoned. But what do you say?" Okay? "And this they said, testing him, that they may have something to which accuse him. But Yeshua stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continue asking him, he raised up and said unto them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at first.'" Okay, so let's break this down, okay? Did they follow the proper protocol of judgment that Yeshua, by the way, when you hear people preach about this chapter, they tell you that this is when he changed the law, that he came to bring grace and not the law anymore. That is not so. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. And let's see what the Bible tells us, the Torah. One of the signs of the Messiah is that he will bring righteous judgment, just like Moses did in the wilderness when he picked leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of tens. And then when you go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, chapter 20, verse 10 and 11 says this, "The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." Okay? "The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." In other words, when they brought him, the woman, you notice she was caught in the very act, but they didn't bring one person. That was the man. They only brought the woman. So the Pharisees and the scribes were not following the proper judgment of protocol in the Torah. You have to have two witnesses. They say they saw her in the act. But wait a minute, they didn't bring the older guy. And in verse 6, it says they were testing him. Why? Because if Yeshua would have rendered judgment, even though he knew she was guilty, he would have disqualified himself as the prophet. He would have qualified himself as the anointed prophet of Yahweh, who was the Messiah. Does that make sense to you? Let's go back. In Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22. This is fun. When you got to, you know, put it on the spot, you go through scriptures. And you have to show through scripture. Season and out of season, right? Chapter 22, verse 22 says this. It says, "If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. Both the man that lay with a woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil person from Israel." Did they bring the man to her, to Yeshua? No, they only brought the woman, which doesn't qualify as a true witness. Now, how do you determine true witness? Let's go to Deuteronomy 17. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 6 and 7, it tells you clearly what is the requirement of the proper judgment. It says, "Whoever is worthy of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And he shall now be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hands of the witness," listen to this, "the hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death. And afterwards, the hands of all the people, so you shall put the evil person from the midst." In other words, that's why he says in verse 9, whoever's without sin, verse 7, throw the first stone. Because the two witnesses, remember, the scribes and the Pharisees, they caught her in the act, right? So therefore, they were the first one to throw the first stone. And because they were testing him, they caught her, they saw her, they premeditated this whole event. It was all a setup. Yeshua didn't fall for it. He didn't take the bait. Now, what is this fulfilling? This is fulfilling a prophecy in Jeremiah. The prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 17 says this. If I could just get there eventually. There we go. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13 says, "O Lord, O Adonai, the hope of Israel." The word hope there means mikvah, immersion, baptism. So it should read, "O Adonai, the mikvah of Israel. All who forsake you shall be shamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Adonai, the fountain of living waters." What a coincidence. Yeshua is in the temple. They bring a woman and they want him to render judgment to see if he follows the proper Torah protocol. And he stoops down and he starts writing on the ground. Do you think he's sending him a message? They're rejecting Yeshua. And he's letting those people will be ashamed because they're rejecting the fountain of living waters. And they are trying to test him to see if he will render the improper judgment. So you see, when a Christian stands up and says that John chapter 8 verse 10 about the adulterous woman have to do with what? Oh, with grace. You no longer have to follow the law. You have just done a good job proving that Yeshua is not the Messiah by using those words. Because in fact, the fact is that he didn't judge her, knowing that she was a guilty, that she was guilty of adultery. But they did not bring the men, and they didn't have the proper witnesses, proves that he is the righteous judge, that he did the works of Moses. I hope that makes sense to you. I just took that sidebar there, and I want to expound a little bit on that so you understand where I'm coming from. Let's move on to the next one, okay? Moses came with a sign of the leper. Yeshua heals the lepers. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 6, says, and Yahweh said said furthermore unto him, put now your hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand unto thy bosom again. And he put his hand into the bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again into other flesh. Now Matthew 8:3 says, and Yeshua put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately this leprosy was healed. Now what's interesting, the rabbis have a teaching about this. They call the Messiah the leper scholar. In Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 98b, he says, the rabbi said, his name is the leper scholar, end quote. As it is written, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him a leper, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. That is Sonsino Talmud edition of Isaiah 53, verse 4. So what we see here is that Moses put his right hand or his hand in the bosom, comes out as leprosy. When Yeshua came the first time, he took the sin of Israel, leprosy, which is never be healed, and he healed it. When Yeshua comes back the second time, Moses putting his hand the second time, we are going to be transformed in a twinkle of an eye. No one is ever going to get sick. Sin is going to be beaten, and sin is no longer going to reign in our lives, and we are never going to have to worry about spiritual leprosy, which is sin. The whole episode that happened there in Exodus chapter 4, verse 6, is a type and shadow of the work of the Messiah will do when he will come. Let's move on. The wisdom of Moses and the wisdom of Yeshua. In Acts chapter 7, verse 22 says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Colossians 2, verse 2 says, for their hearts may be comforted and be knitted together in love, unto all riches and the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Yahweh, the Father and of Messiah. In other words, Yeshua had all the fullness of the understanding and the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, the knowledge of Moses and Yeshua given by Yahweh. In Psalms 103, verse 6 and 7 and 8 says, Yahweh executed judgment, executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his act unto the children of Israel, right? Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That's a reference to Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 9. And John chapter 5, verse 20 says, for the Father loveth the Son, and show him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. You see? So Moses was given all the wisdom by the Father. Then Yahweh was given all the wisdom to Yeshua by the Father. Moses and Yeshua got angry. Okay, I always wonder whether Yeshua had to, you know, he went bunkers in the temple. You know, this is to fulfill the type and shadow of Moses. Exodus 32:19 says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calves and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets of stone and the tablets out of his hand and break them beneath the mount. And Matthew 21:12 says, and Yeshua went into the temple of Yahweh and cast all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tablets of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So you see that Moses gets upset because the people are doing what is wrong in the eyes of Yahweh. Yeshua is doing the same thing in the temple because it was the duty of the high priest to cleanse the temple of anything that was not holy, to separate holy and profane. The priests of the time of Yeshua were not doing that in the temple, so Yeshua went in and got angry, just like Moses, to standing up for righteous indignation. A righteous indignation, that's what happened. He was not really sinning. He was actually fulfilling the requirements of Moses in reality so he would preserve what is just and what is right. Let's go to the next one. Moses and Yeshua spent time in the desert. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. Yeshua spent 40 days in the desert. If Yeshua didn't go to the desert, then he's not being the prophet like unto Moses. Have you ever wondered why he had to go to the desert? It doesn't tell you why he had to go to the desert anywhere until you start comparing Moses. Moses goes to the desert, Yeshua goes in the desert. It wasn't 40 years, 40 days, which means testing. Moses was tested in the wilderness for 40 years, so he was taking care of the sheep to take him, to lead him into taking care of the sheep Israel. And then Yeshua was 40 days in the wilderness, and then he came to take care of the sheep Israel. Same thing. Move on. Moses and Yeshua washed the feet of the people. And Leviticus 8:6 says that Moses brought Aaron and his son and washed them with water. Get it? And then in John chapter 13:5 says, after he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with towel wherewith he was girdled. Moses washed the feet of the body, or washed them, you know, the feet of the priest. Yeshua does the same thing with the disciples. Very significant. See, piece of information that to us is just, oh, he washed their feet. What does that mean? Go back to Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6. Because he has to do the works of Moses. Everything that Moses did, he had to do. Let's go to the next one. The death of Moses and Yeshua was necessary for the people to enter the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, Yeshua, Moses dies so the people can possess the land. Yeshua died so the seed can grow. So in the future, they can possess the land. It's a type and shadow. It's a midrash. We're doing a midrash, method of study, looking into the text, studying the text. Okay? Let's go to the next one. I hope this is enjoyable to you. I'm having a good time. You know, because this is necessary for our faith. They tell us to believe in Yeshua, but they never tell us why we need to believe in Messiah. If you come back for a minute, I want to make a point. They tell us we need the Messiah, but they don't tell us why. They tell us we need to walk like a Messiah, but they're teaching us to walk contrary to what Yeshua walked like. They're teaching us that he is the prophet, but they don't prove to us how he became the prophet. So if we're going to believe in this Jewish Messiah, we have to have the proof so we can rest assured that when things and tribulation come, we can stand strong knowing that our Redeemer liveth and that he will come and redeem his people in love and kindness, just like he did for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Okay? Now, let's go back to the screen. Moses and Yeshua blessed the people. Exodus 39 verse 43, it says, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done all as Yahweh had commanded. Even so, they had done it, and Moses blessed them. Okay, basically what he said was, Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. You know, and what's interesting, in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, it tells you. It says, when Yeshua is going up to the heavens, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. So now, what does that mean? He lifted up his hand. Did he do this? No. A true priest would never do this. The priest of Israel will bless the people this way. And it's the letter Shin. Okay, when they were in the temple, they kept it up to the foreheads. When they were outside the temple, they kept it up to the shoulders, right here. Remember the Star Trek? Leonard Nimoy? Well, guess what? He's a Jew. Okay, and he will see this in all the synagogues in the morning. If he went to synagogues on Shabbat, he will see that the high priest will go here, and he will say, Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. That means the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. And that's exactly what Yeshua did. He is the high priest. So when he raised his arms, he raised it as the letter Shin, which means El Shaddai. And he says, Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. And he said that blessing to the people just like Moses would have done it. Amen. Let's move on to the next one. Yahweh left a counselor after Moses, and Yeshua fulfilled their office. In Deuteronomy 20:31, verse 23 says, "And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." So here, Joshua is not only a typology of the Messiah, but also of the Comforter, that after Moses died, he will take the people of Israel into the promised land. Lead them into the promised land. That's also the work of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So when you go to John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it can see him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth within you, and you shall be in you. And I will leave you comfort. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So you see, Moses left them with a Comforter, with somebody who was capable. Well, Yeshua left us with the Spirit, with the Ruach HaKodesh, which is part of who the Messiah is. By the way, the rabbis say that when the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, says, "And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters," they're connecting that with the Messiah. And it says that the Spirit, the rabbis teach you that it was the Spirit of Mashiach that was hovering over the waters. And what did Yeshua do? He starts walking of the Sea of Galilee, walking over the waters, to show you that he's not only the Messiah, but he's also the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, it's connected into one. Let's move on. Moses and Yeshua gave reference to the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, verse 1 says, "And Yahweh spake to Moses, saying, On the first day of the month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation." In John chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Yeshua answered and said to them, Destroy this temple, and on the third day I will raise them up." So he gave himself a reference and him being the tabernacle. Okay? Now, Moses and Yeshua kept the Passover. In Exodus 12:21 says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover." Okay? In John chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Yeshua knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So therefore, now Moses takes a Passover, Yeshua takes a Passover. Okay? Ascending and descending, both Yeshua and Moses did it. See, Moses is a type of shadow of Messiah, right? So therefore now, he ascends to the mountain, and then he descends from the mountain. He ascends to the mountain to get the commandments, and he descends back to the people, an idolatrous people. Well, Yeshua descended from heaven, which is the mountain, by the way. In the Bible, the mountain there is a type of shadow of heaven. And then we see that Yeshua descended from the heaven, and then he ascended again. You understand? It's like the same thing, but in reverse. See, like Adam. Adam was what? A physical being, because he was made out of the earth. He was made into a spiritual being, because the Lord breathed on him the breath of life. And then after he sinned, he went back to the earth. He was created to live forever, but he sinned. He fell out of his state. Now, Yeshua came from the same thing, but backwards. Yeshua comes from the heavenly spiritual perfection. He made himself in the likeness of men, and then he goes back to his perfect status of perfection. The same type of shadow. Okay? So Yeshua descends and ascends, just like Moses did. Now, Moses and Yeshua sanctify the people. Exodus 19 verse 10 says, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." So how many days passed? 2 days. On the third day, they met with Yahweh on the mountain. So in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 11 and 12 says, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp in the Mount of Olives." Okay? "Wherefore Yeshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." So Moses sanctifies the people to be prepared for Yahweh. Yeshua sanctified the people by being the perfect offering. Come near to the Lord. Interesting. I hope you send emails and let me know how you're enjoying the teachings. To me, it's important because, you know, sometimes we do the teachings, we have an agenda. But if you're not getting it, I'm going to give you the PowerPoint. You can go into GLC website and it's posted. You're going to be able to download it for free. So as you get this, we're going to be able to give you these things. Let's go to the next one. Moses and Yeshua as the redeemers of Israel. Exodus 6:6 says, Wherefore says unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of the bondage, their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with a great judgment. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great Elohim and our Savior Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, transgression, or rebellion, and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous for good works. So if Yeshua, the true prophet, that's the question. Does Yeshua qualify as the true prophet of Yahweh's? Yes, he is. He follows the work like Moses did. He require everything he did is in accordance with Scripture. If you take the time to go through some of the rabbinical writings in reference to who they think the Messiah is exactly what the Brit Hadashah, the Renewed Covenant, says. As you know it as the New Covenant, the New Testament. But everything Yeshua did goes in line with exactly the role of the Messiah that he would do when he came as the suffering servant. So Yeshua is doing the role of the Messiah ben Joseph. The Messiah, the son of Joseph. He's not doing the role of the Messiah ben David. He's not doing the role of the Messiah, son of David, who is the kingly Messiah. He is the king in our hearts. Amen. We understand that. But is he the king on the earth right now, literally? No. He is coming to restore his kingdom in the Messianic age for the 1,000-year reign. And that's what our hope is. In the meantime, he is doing the role of the high priest. He did the role of the prophet. He fulfilled that requirement. Now he's doing the role of the high priest. I hope that you have truly enjoyed these teachings for the last 4 weeks, the four teachings, the four sessions we've had. I know it's a lot of information, but you know we are in the last days and we need to be prepared and we need to be informed. I hope that the teachings that I bring forth to you are edifying to you, that they're challenging you to go back and verify Scripture, and I hope that is a blessing. Remember, do not believe anything I say, verify everything I say. And it's exciting to live in these days in which Yahweh is revealing himself in a deeper way through his son Yeshua. So when the Jews, my people, I'm a Sephardic Jew myself, when my people start seeing us living a Torah observant lifestyle, we can reveal to them the true essence of our Messiah, that he fulfilled every requirement as a true messenger and anointed of Israel. Yahweh bless you and keep you. We'll see you soon. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. This has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email, and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC, and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. Now, remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you, and I'll see you next time. Shalom.
This program was produced by and for God's Learning Channel. If you enjoy this program, we need your support to keep this program on GLC. Please make your checks out to God's Learning Channel, P.O. Box 61000, Midland, Texas 79711-1000. Please be sure to designate where your contribution is intended. It is very important to let GLC know which programs you enjoy and support.